type one. I'm going to read actually the first two poems that I originally came to open like about a year ago. So the first one is called Ultimate Fighting Championship, which I used to watch a year or 2 months ago. I don't remember. But anyway, for anyone who doesn't know, it's kind of mixed martial arts, and yeah, that's what it is. So, Ultimate Fighting Championship. Blood and your guts slam, I cannot take my eyes off them. Heroes meeting in the cage with calm, deadly, explosive rage. Choke holds arm brands on the last, high kicks and takedowns. This is crazy fun for those of us too lazy to step onto a fighting stage. The violence thickens at first sight, but stay and watch the second fight. I think that courage you will see and learn to admire fighting free. From guns and bullets, knives and bombs, the honour of a proper fight, and men reaching their own summit free from bomb and free from bullets. But I am disappointed to see the absence of beauty. The beautiful kicks of Taekwondo rarely match wrestling, jiu-jitsu or judo. And the skilled fighting resembles a brawl. The thing that strikes me most of all is that man is not made to fight or maul. We are built for cooperation. Fighting is not our natural station. And I think I better follow that with a low point. Okay, so this is called Living in Your Eyes. I enjoy living in your eyes, modest glory endured and enjoyed, bestowing blessings on my endeavours. But I never moved, as though frozen in your eyes, enjoying your crush too much. And now we move away, you to Canada, me to Cork. Is it sad that we nearly loved and never really knew each other, and did not find out what would have happened if I had moved or melted in your eyes? And I'll just finish up with a very short one. I should have this off air for 2 lines. Without them has come no expectations. Without expectations I sit by the lake, pen and notepad before me. A dragonfly lands on the white page, more beautiful than anything one could write.
Thanks, Harry. Next up to the mic, for the third time I've heard, Peter Hellam, John Mee.
Hi, it's very nice to be here. Only 69 sessions, too late, at the beginning of OBS. Okay, I'll just read two poems. The first poem is called Showdown. At Chamonix, on the Mer de Glace, Frankenstein meets Frankenstein's monster. The creature says, make me someone to love, or I'll glut for the maw of death. They struggle still among swaying alpine trees. You can't win a match to your monster, who fights like a master, elegant, fast as thought, though cobbled together from people who are dead. All bolts and scars, he flies like you, kicks, blocks, and swords. Rehearsed or not, the blows are true, the fight won't end. You dream of taking him apart, starting again. This next poem is perhaps somewhat different. It's called Statement. I'm here to tell you war is hell, and where I was when Baghdad fell. I feel the need to disabuse the simple souls who miss the news. In powerful, incisive words, I spill the beans about the Kurds. Uzbek, Afghan, Shia, Sunni, it comes down to oil and money. And all because of Bush and Blair, they suffer there and over there. No fear, I'm here, so listen well. I've come to tell you, war is hell. So many weighty words I've penned, attacking things you can't defend. I tell the truth the way I see it, on CNN or Sky albeit. The poor old world's in such a state, and I'm the one to set it straight. But how naive are you, honey? It comes down to oil and money. And all because of Bush and Blair, they suffer there and over there. They're there, I'm here,
And just as well, I've heard it said that war is hell. Thank you.
Thank you, John. Next up we have Louis Montagne.
At a beach near where I live, after thunder, scallops come loose and they're washed in. And years ago, the women used to use scallop shells to skim the cream from milk. The shell. It was a blast of umber, thunder, blue shy Venus from her ocean bed of green. Botticelli showed her birth from the shell. That skimmed the cream once from the more fresh rift. I wish instead of her medieval shape, the shell had borne a woman of design that better fit desire of modern man, and let the swathe of hair so long and red fall from her tender grasp that gently sway, revealing all that it should always be to soften this tough state of all mankind, long loaded on their tortuous pilgrimage across the rough but short-lived ways to nothing. And again, Venus, she's been a great inspiration to all artists, and they've sculpted her and painted her and done various things through the ages, and very often breaking taboos in what the various artists did one after another. And believe it or not, Mark Twain objected to the Titian painting being shown in the Uffizi Gallery in Florence because there was indication that she may have had aroused feelings because he showed her a certain situation called the cold. Venus, she was nature's beauty who, guarding a great treasure, aroused male artists' interest in hot climes and harder times. So were many caught her well on rough canvas and smooth marble, drew her standing, fixed her lying, Alexandra's nearly smothered her in linen. Giorgione viewed her armpits coldly, Botticelli even stood her on a shell, while Ingres stretched her longer in her languor, and Rubens saw her lumpy at a mirror from behind. But it was Titian caught her best, then left her hang in the Uffizi with a look of subtle promise from her nickel-cold couch. Yes, Titian did her best if she'd only clap her hands and reveal where he had hidden greatest treasure of all time. I wrote that other thing earlier on all over these, so I don't worry. I read you one in Irish, and I'll read it quickly. Sort of a version of it in English because I always change when I translate a rose in Irish or something like that. Mount Eagle. Saturday, bright and crisp, invaded early Lima and sent us prancing upward to where the skylarks thrilled in warmer days. Mount Eagle's flank was harsh with frost and icicle dripped noses from broken wayside banks. Heather crunched and sunk an inch, well-swaddled sheep still huddled, and distant tractors mumbled that we'd not outstripped the earth. Leave another. Saturn, Gal, Bliskalok, a hurried on lather with a quirled loosh of chin, for fadden for shoulder, a quirled glittering trees and grave. Toss leave another, cruise to say glass row, bereavely shaka on the shiller slippery, on birch, grim brishden, her hair will woe her costume. Atten, brisk, snogging a bruise to precush. Query, born at Leighton, in Atlantic, that. Shaft the dear Blafona, fine up, get knocked, or looked faithful, con aged at Lenin. Cronol, imigainul, or harricol. A current rule, not going to be there, but we can all hear it both.
Thanks, Louis. Next up, could we have Bree Spudger? Bree?
Thank you. how she knows it's over. He knows it's over, she gave him the broken cup. He knows it's over, she doesn't stir wine from glass with trembling fingers handed him. He knows it's over now, her eyes like his glass half full where they used to be overflowing. She knows it's over, his fingers on hers no longer lightning. She knows it's over, the stretch of his neck has ceased to be a Christmas story. She knows it's over now, he kills his one true secretary and the others are all Judas. And it's enough to walk through the golden city nights, way laid out before her, past yellow pools of gold. Stars are her solace and company, but she doesn't need to reach them now. It is enough to walk through the golden dark. He tips his glass over when she hands it to him, and the wine rushes skybound to the sea. Yet he knows in his heart that he cannot ask more. I just wrote this one today, so it's a bit messy, but it's called I Am Mouse. Lion or lioness, why must you name me? Sometimes I am man, sometimes I am woman. Don't you find that you yourself? Sometimes swaggering a woman in heels, a man when things need to get done. I didn't know that thinking or being or feeling were not classified as words. I apologize, you must forgive me that. But I will not bow down to your words, you, or kneel before your crystal altar. Be you my mother, my lover, my friend and my brother, I will not do that. I am not the curtains that go with the couch. Don't care if the fates don't match. My heart does not beat to the tick of your watch. No, no, I am not that. I will not bend to be at your right angle, nor twist myself into the sun or moon for you. I will be quantum, or the point on the horizon you will never quite reach. No, 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 I am not solved by math. I'm not this and I'm not that. What I am is more the disc of past. Perhaps you can find me through the process of elimination. With a laugh, do I not grow less and less until there may be nothing left? With a little spark that fat and hits its way into oblivion. But to admit to being nothing, is it not so much more than lying that you are everything? The stars that light up the black are long since dead, whirling in their own self-orbit, they implode to leave trails across the sky, so loved that they are mirrors in fireworks and fireflies. But I am not this, and I am not that. All I know is that I am somewhere between the space between things.
And breathe. Next up we have Lyle Harriet.
Hi. That was amazing, Billy, and even more so just being able to declaim your poetry rather than reading it. This is a one-page story. Memories. Ah, bitter memories. James McCarthy scrutinized the chickens at the open-air market in Bantry. Then he spoke to Dinny O'Sullivan. 200, you said. Give me 150, right, mate? Dinny hesitated. He looked over at the pubs that lined one side of the square. He licked his lips. Done, boy, he said. He spat on his hand and they shook on the deal. Come on, boy, buy you a drink of Billow, said Dinny. We'll leave the chickens with the wife for a minute. Mary will hold the fort. He handed over the notes to her. Just to be on the safe side, Mike. The weather-beaten woman swore softly as the two men strode off. The pub was crowded and it took a while to get the order in. The tourist couple in front of them left and the two men settled down on high stools with pints of black porter in their fists. So what's your name, anyways? Asked Dinny O'Sullivan. James McCarthy, said the young man. And where might you be from? London town, is it? How'd you guess? But Sullivan scowled, knocked back the rest of his pint, banged the glass on the bar and started for the door. Hang about, Gov, what's your hurry? I was going to buy you a drink, said McCarthy. Billow, fill us two more there, will you, mate? But Sullivan looked back. Not for me. And when you finish, come and get your second money back. You're not having my chickens, no way, boy. Whoa, keep your ear on. What's your problem? Listen to me. Didn't she, McCarthy, sit on your second arse above Kinsale while the English were baiting the jails out of our people? What are you talking about? When? Battle of Kinsale, 1601. You're nothing but fence-sitters. Even the fucking Spanish came to our aid when you just sat above on the hill waiting to see which way it would go. With that, Daniel Sullivan strode out the door. Bill O'Donnell, the proprietor, grinned and said, Oh, sure, no wonder the Brit had us tied up in knots for 800 years, God help us. Gilly O'Sullivan walked to his pitch on the square. Where the hell was Mary? And the chickens? One of the travelling gentlemen at the next pitch, who was selling second-hand farm implements, looked at Dinny with half-concealed amusement. She packed up and went off in the van, boss, as soon as you left. Said to pass on a message to you, chipped in his friend. Thanks for the birthday present, like.
Thanks, Arnold. Next up we have Jennifer Matthews.
This one's called Changeability. He spent perfect, noxious drops of his grievances laying in clouds above daily chores, like going to the shop for bread, like driving children home. This is how ringing works. Your sins are at maximum capacity, and their collective body gives, shooting down grey blankets, making veils of clingy hair, testing the integrity of skin as an organ of protection. You can dry off, but you won't warm, no matter how many fires you speak your name to. This is a skeletal cold. Your core structure is shivering after this unprovoked baptism.
Next up we've got an old friend, hasn't been here for ages, Sinead Ryan.
Step over me and around me, so high in your world, in your judgment of me, that I am always unseen by you, by your world. But don't forget in your glory to remember, because I'm down here, I can see the holes in your shoes. This is Dr. Snatcher called Michael Collins. His language was the gun. He was a giant who could walk by unseen. He was the iron fist of a birthing nation that she founded, struggling to find her feet. The order came for him to enter into a dance with the devil. He did his duty. He returned with only 26. But he was no longer invisible, and the giant danced to his death.
Are you sure? Barbara, is your surname Sled? It's Barbara Sled. For the first time, good on you. Thank you. I'm Barbara.
To the ones that get away. There's always some that fall through the net they cast for me and you. A squirmy minnow, lucky fish, didn't end up on some cast dish. But here's to all the sailing monks who justified me a test with you. May many more of you fall through until the next wears away too. Winter, it's kind of summer here. Damp settles on my skin, dribbles slowly, spreads its patch like a black fungus on my bathroom walls. I used to wish I was somewhere else, somewhere I could dry clothes outside and lie in the grass and sunshine all year round. But now I've kind of grown fond of the winter. It's not a passionate affair by any means. I don't long for its cold fingers or pant in its dark embrace, but I've grown used to its touch, the branches stripped by the wind and the grayness too often. I used to wish I was someone else, someone funny all year round, but now I've grown fonder of my winter, my mind stripped by the wind, rain. How I love this time of day, the darkness closing in, shadows lengthening, curtains closed, blinds brought down, thoughts and children gathered round. Turning in, we turn to each other, the world with its bright sadness falls with the sun, the crazy stories on the news, the demons and monsters, the vacuous slogans, let them wait a while. We have our evening safe together, maybe it'll be enough to build a shield that frozen them. They will be their amulet, wearing themselves, true to themselves, fair as water.
Next up we have Yay, yet another yuck. Yet another one. Yeah, or maybe the whole new yak story, which maybe you can't get this bloody yak, there we go. Tell me about this first, thanks. Thank you, Andrew. Sorry, Kate.
Yeah, that's right. It's safe to assume I've got Napoleon syndrome. Been too wild, too eager, and pissed. Like I got something to prove, but you won't see how I move. This little dipper pulled out of the gift. 6'3", 4'10" brings more. Horror, horror, fervor, four. My words are burning your story, your ashes of glory. My feet probably sweep off the dance floor. Molecular fast, I bounce quicker. And back with a smile and a smack. Well, you're proud of the strength to carry that cross on your back? My levity will save me. It's safe to assume I got Napoleon syndrome. Been too wild, too eager, and pissed. Like I got something to prove, but you will see how I move. This little dipper pulled out of the gift. Got effervescence, virgin, or mania. You want to scoff? You'll step down. I'll bite your kneecaps off.
Right, next up we have Mary Noonan. Hello, Mary.
Thank you. This is called What Is Left. I carried it round all summer on scraps of worn paper in various bags, on trains, two planes, jottings, feeling it had the makings of something. But now the moment has come, I cannot lay my hands on the damned thing. It has flowered without me, complete in its vanishing act, leaving me never to know what it was that made me cling to the raggedy shreds. Was it a record of a man on a broken hill in a wet field in Dublin, silhouette against a mackerel sky, calling to someone in a crowd to dance him through curtains that kisses have outworn, promising to raise a tent of shelter though every thread is torn? Or a history of goats lolling in the foxgloves at the cliff's edge and the long grasses rolling in waves against the breeze off the North Harbour on Cape Clear? Or a prayer for the sky to send someone to talk to me like the rain, the endless warm summer rain falling on Fitzgerald Park, on the piles of sweating rose petals, on the sleek stone boy in the lily pond? Is he pulling a thorn from the sole of his foot? On the shaky bridge, on the black perch sliding just below the stippled river? Or a bird journal, the spindly egrets waving in the marshes between Narbonne and Perpignan, seen from a train window, the heavy bodies of gulls lumbering above the canals of Sept? What remains of my calendar of burning blue, my portrait of water, my portrait of a man standing on a rock, saluting with his hat the vast emptiness of the ocean, asking to be lifted like an olive branch by a homeward dove? Thank you.
Hi, Barry. Next up, we have Mr. Joe Sweeney.
Hey. the evening. I just took them a short poem to read this evening. It's a poem, I suppose, about love and espionage. I don't even tend to understand it sometimes. I suppose how people hide from one another. It's called Boss. Double agents, we kept a room where we kept nothing to give us away. No mirror to see or be seen by us. We took each other in. Remembered to forget which side who was on. Drew blinds to take out the people in the windows staring sightlessly in. Our cold love, we covered up with a worn blanket of our history. We crossed each other's borders, fingered files of dated emotions with stubborn holes, until we came to the old misunderstanding. We separately left, as if anyone could have known who we were.
Thanks, Joe. Next up, we have Brian Omoku.
This week I have something written down, so I know it's not bad. I see not the writer. I see the man who talks to the earth with his tongue. I see the one who strives with angels by night and by day, just happens to write it. I see not the painter. I see the one who seeks for soul and paints what comes and goes. I seek not the poet. I seek the one who rubs cheeks with trees, who dances to the music of the wind, who swims in the sea, and just happens to write poetry. I seek not the man who meditates the monastic vows. I seek not the music of notes. I seek the music of soul that speaks to me using notes and chords and things called instruments. I seek not the man that makes music. I see the man that feels soul and puts music to it.
Next up, so we haven't been here for a while, Eddie Power.
I spent a lot of time with my dad lately, so I was another state. The three of us were coercing the chicken around the table made for it, and I tried to pay attention to my father's words, but I'm startled by him, by how he suddenly appeared. His hair peppered with sprays of fatty, fleeting grey, featureless as white. His face marred by winter nights that slept through, with a denial of reality available in childhood, burdened with period only. He stirred the sugar bowl, spoon as he took, and a sour taste brightened in my mouth, allowing for strong hands, cross words, and eyebrows arched, then unarched. On a couch in a room, at a party in a house, I sit next to you, and I can't speak this in between us. It ricochets through the darkened room, like a candle in the fireplace, pushes glasses to lips, encouraging sips to wet appetite, freeze to faces like the seagulls. I don't look at you, you ignore me, and everyone else in our little bedroom pretends not to see.
Next up we have Joy. Joy.
I clap over her. corners there's the stone and on it is inscribed the following. H. O'Neill, in memory of his three beloved children who saw, and it's funny what that says, you can see Frosty the man died after inscribing this, and on a road for called 1847 Ballantemple. He sat down to hone his chisel and incised the word H. O'Neill in memory of his three beloved children who what? His body must then have wilted under the sad corner by that small stone. Was he reunited there with his beloved or his son who lay in where he now lies, far from his monument, or did he crawl away somewhere like a skeletal cat, one life only to dispense, underneath some ash, where perched high an old call, to wit, to who? There's a headline in the Examiner a couple of years ago at the height of the transcriber. And the headline was "The Cranes Are Up, The Cranes Are Up." What it meant was that we should all be delighted that the cranes are up in buildings. The only people making money were the bankers and the solicitors and the auctioneers and all that kind of crap. So we should have been jumping around when the cranes are up. The cranes are up, the cranes are up. How wonderful, the people, they will be happy. Here the bottles pop, take the sup. The cranes are up, the cranes are up. What a truly marvelous sight. All boats are lifted, all spirits too. Work all day until you drop. The cranes are up, the cranes are up, dancing up and down the mall. Milk and honey flows all around. Hold out your hand and fill your cup. The cranes have flown. The cranes have flown. What long legs they had. What long necks. What big eyes they had. What big bills. Who'd have known they'd leave? Who'd have known?